And once again, we rejoice in that glorious hope of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us turn this morning to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 11. We will begin with verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We would continue these messages on true riches. And today's subject is the reproach of Christ. As we see in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. We have seen repeatedly in these messages that faithfulness to the unrighteous mammon or money is a requirement to gain true riches. The reason, of course, for that, as we have said, those principles, money and true riches, are exactly the same. Today, I want to see five major points instructing us how to obtain these true riches. And so the first thing that we see in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years. This is one of the principles of money. By faith indicates that Moses was looking to God. The object of his faith, all faith, indeed is God. And we find out that God is the source of our money. God is the source of our riches. And it is so interesting to go down through all of these verses and find out that the decisions that Moses made were directly because of his faith. It is because he believed God. And that is the secret of gaining the riches that we have. Whether they be natural riches or spiritual riches, we must believe God in order to get them. You will notice here, this is so important for us to understand, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, it tells us of the same thing in our lives. It doesn't matter what our background may have been. It doesn't matter if we were raised in a Christian home or if we were not raised in a Christian home. There comes a day in all of our lives when we will be held accountable for the choice that we make, not for what someone else has done. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, then he had a choice. He had to make this decision in his life. And so again, this man, by faith, chose to believe God at this point. Brings us to the second point that we want to make here. And that is, by faith, when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want to notice this one because when he refused to become the son or claim the title of the son of Pharaoh's daughter, if you jump down to verse 26, and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, when he chose not to become and to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he chose not to accept the treasures of Egypt. The whole nation lay at his feet. He could have been rich in prestige and power. He could have had all the authority that he wanted, but Moses chose not to lay hold of those riches. All these advantages that he would have had in Egypt as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he chose not to take. Here is where I want to notice that Moses was faithful in the unrighteous mammon. And it was because of this attitude. He was not obsessed with the treasures of Egypt. This is one of the principles that we learned of money, is that a person, if they're going to be faithful in the unrighteous mammon, they absolutely cannot be obsessed with money. We saw it illustrated in Exodus 16 when they were instructed not to gather double or more manna on a particular day than what they needed. Some of them violated God's word on that. And scripture says that it bred worms and it stank. The same thing is true with money. It is not something that we simply lay up for ourselves. It is not something that we are indeed obsessed with. Moses was much like Solomon, as we saw in an earlier message. Solomon also was faithful in the unrighteous mammon. He was not obsessed with getting rich. That's why God gave him the riches. He said, Solomon, because you didn't ask for this, this is why I'm going to give it to you. And then Solomon wrote this, Proverbs 23:4. Labor not to be rich. It's a mistake to put all of our efforts into becoming rich and wealthy. Moses chose not to do that. David said it this way in Psalm 62:10. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. You may have some money, but don't put your confidence in it. Set not your heart on it. Jesus said it this way in John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Temporal money, temporal riches, you simply cannot lay our hand to them and be obsessed with them. Isaiah 55:2 says it this way, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. You can't spend your life just trying to get wealthy. Then we remember that classic scripture on money, 1 Timothy 6:10, which says this, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is why we must be faithful in the unrighteous mammon. I heard the story of a banker a few years ago talking to a prospective employee. And near the end of that interview, he looked across at the man and he said, can you offer any other qualification you may have for this job outside of your love for money? The banker turned him down, of course. I want to notice, being faithful in the unrighteous mammon is a reference to the attitude we have toward money. A person may be so poor he can't rub two dimes together and still have love for money. And God says this simply will not work if we're going to be faithful in the unrighteous mammon. Another person may have great funds and finances, but it does not mean that he has the love of money. If indeed riches increase, set not your heart on them. It is our attitude toward money that is important in this matter. This brings us to the third point. True riches is a choice. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I want to notice this is exactly the same as what we have in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Some might wonder, how do you define the reproach of Christ as riches? But that's exactly what the scripture says, that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And as I thought on this matter for a while, I just began to wonder, what exactly does the scripture mean when it says the reproach of Christ? We'll not turn there, but I know you remember it well as remembering a number of these other terms that I want to describe and define this morning as being the reproach of Christ. Isaiah 53:3 says, he is despised. He's rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Notice further terms that define and tell us what is the reproach of Christ. He was wounded. He was bruised of God. He was rejected. He came into his own. His own received him not. He was afflicted. He was hated. He was persecuted. And so the list can go on and on as to all of the things that Jesus endured when he came into this world. And if you'll remember, he told the disciples, if they have treated me this way, do you think they're going to treat you any different? This is the reproach of Christ. And I repeat, it is our choice whether we are willing to bear that reproach or not. We are going to have to take the stand whether we accept the path that God has chosen for us or not. This is the path that Moses chose. He chose to be identified and afflicted with the people of God. He chose to bear the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul likewise made exactly that same choice. We'll not turn there. But 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in infirmities. I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. That's what it means to esteem the reproach of Christ so very highly. It is something that is absolutely valued in our lives. And the fact of the matter is this, and every one of us must understand and realize it. We will never lay hold of true riches unless we too esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt or the treasures of the world. That choice is up to us. Just like Moses made his choices, likewise we too must make a specific and a direct choice. It's so important to understand that we don't just fall into this. We don't just wake up one day and here we are on that path. We must choose that path by choosing the way, submitting to the way that indeed God has chosen for us. Then we come to point number 4 in verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We could interpret that the pleasures of money for a season, because it is money which buys such pleasures in our world today, and the whole world knows it. But I want to focus in on this latter part. For a season. We have discovered that this is also one of the principles of handling money, of being faithful in money. You have to realize it's only temporary. Money is just for a season. Back in Exodus 16, we are told emphatically, the money or the manna ceased after a time. That same thing is true in our lives. And I'm not just talking about ceasing when we go to glory. As I thought on this, I thought of the many heart-rending stories that we have heard down through the years. Very wealthy people. But when they got to the end of their lives, even though they had massive amounts of money in store that they had hoarded all of these years, all of that money was not able to prolong their life because they had a terminal illness. They could do nothing for them. The money was absolutely worthless. We must absolutely acknowledge today that money is valuable only to the point that God makes it valuable in our lives. And so money, there will come that day, it will no longer be a factor. It will no longer be a benefit to us at all. It will indeed cease. And so as we find here that Moses said he wouldn't enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He was not going to pay that price. Then we come to the fifth point, verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why? He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There is a reward for receiving, for taking, for appropriating all of these tremendous factors that are included in the path that we choose of the reproach of Christ. But here we contrast it with that which is but for a season, because this is an eternal reward. This is a lasting reward that we have obtained because we chose this path of experiencing the reproach of Christ. Let us turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. Very familiar verses, but I want to point out here how that it depends on the choice we make as to what reward, what recompense we are going to receive. Now, Moses refused to become the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to have all of these treasures of Egypt, indeed, because they are only for a season. And he knew that there was a great recompense of reward. When you think about Moses, I know he was not disappointed. He died there in the wilderness. They searched for his body. They never could find it. But the next time we see Moses, he was on the Mount of Transfiguration in his glorified body, appearing with Jesus in glory. This is what we are looking for today. Exactly the same thing. This is the recompense of reward that is for us. And notice how Paul puts it here in these verses. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And I would go on record saying today that the scripture bears out plainly that any person who is ever born again has an inheritance. He is an heir the day he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is more. Joint heirs with Christ. Let us establish the difference. All believers are heirs. Make no mistake. Every person who ever accepts Christ will receive some kind of inheritance. But I can guarantee you that all Christians will not be joint heirs with Christ. And the reason for that is because of what we read right here. If so be that we suffer with him. The joint heirship with Christ is reserved for those who choose the path of the reproach of Christ. They choose the same path that Moses did of refusing the treasures of Egypt in order to lay hold of these riches. They're called riches, which are the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. If you can measure the glory of Christ, we can measure our own, because we are joint heirs with Christ. Those who are willing to suffer with him and choose this path that we have detailed this morning. Verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. Go back to the sufferings of Moses' time. All of those miles in the wilderness, putting up with all of the foolishness and the rebellion of the children of Israel and all of the other hardships and heartaches that he had to endure. We bring it down to our day, and we know that this is a day of suffering. It is a day of trial. It's a day of adversity. It's a day when we had rather not go through some of the things we're going through. But notice what the apostle says. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. And for ourselves, we are going to have to make that determination. Whatever we are going through today, whatever we are experiencing today, the affliction, the difficulty, the inequity that we are experiencing today. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. They can't even be on the same page with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We'll not turn there, but I will close with this verse from 2 Corinthians 4:17. We must at all cost put it into context, into perspective. Our light affliction. And no, today it doesn't seem all that light. It doesn't seem all that unimportant, so to speak. But this is the path of faith. This is what we must take in our own lives. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. People who are suffering in bodies, some people who have cancer and some of these other ungodly and dreaded diseases, I know it doesn't seem like a moment, but faith will reach out and grasp that this is just for a moment. It's not going to last. It's not going to continue indefinitely. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And here's the key. It's this affliction that is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so it is so important today that you and I reach out. Literally and specifically, deliberately, take hold of the reproach of Christ, the riches of the reproach of Christ, in order that God may work these eternal riches in our lives that we will enjoy for eternity. And so we continue with the wonder of the true riches which God has given to us.